Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Check us out on the radio.com app. It is Sam and Greg, 1 hour in the books. We are here until 10 o'clock this morning with Falcons on Monday Night Football. Listen, you want to join in on some of these games you saw yesterday, your thoughts on the Bulldogs, you want to give us a shout, 404-741-0929. We're going to hear more from our producer, Ken Roundtree, who joined us in that first hour as we kind of went around, but got off base with college football because I know there was some specifics we wanted to talk about. But as long as I got Sam to say the Fighting David Archers, I feel like I achieved what I needed to do.
That's Dave's got a smile. He's got to have a smile.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Listen, this is where we're going to get into local high school and college stuff, but I want to ask you something that Karen was talking about and the feasibility of it happening. She talked about the majors as far as tennis moving into a bubble.
Right.
Now, what I remember about Roland Garros, they don't have a roof. Now, I know Wimbledon put one on a few years back, and there's only two. I think is it the main stadium, Arthur Ashe Stadium at the U.S. Open, or two
Arthur
of them?
Ashe Stadium and Armstrong.
Armstrong. Okay, so there's two stadiums, but that's not the whole tournament. They can't play them all. It would otherwise it'd be like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
They just don't
One thing they do have over in Paris, they have lights, which for the longest time I don't remember them having lights, but they do have lights now. And it's been put to the test. It's been rainy. It's been cold. A lot of the players complained about how cold it is. I mean, obviously, you're playing in October rather than the time you usually play in Paris, which is back in the spring. So, I mean, that's something else that's been happening. It's been just cold. And I think a lot of the players got over there and they said, you know what? Crank up the jet. When do I get to go home?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It just hadn't been a lot of fun. You had some things going on, like and some COVID tests. We didn't get into this with Karen. Fernando Verdasco is one player who's suing. He's suing the tournament, saying that they said that he had a positive test, and he said he had several negative tests that he submitted. So there's all kind of things like that that have gone on. You got to have that period. It was really a tight window between the U.S. Open and the French for players to go there and get acclimated if they had to do the 10-day quarantine or whatever and still try to get some practice and work time in so they play their best. So I'm not saying a lot of players mailed it in, but, you know, they went there because they committed to go and be there. Obviously, their sponsors or endorsement folks says, hey, this is a major. You got to show up. You know, you're wearing our stuff. You know, you're playing with our rackets or whatnot. And so a lot of them are going to fulfill those type things. They're going to come back and regroup. Like you said, they're going to regroup and start out and show Australia. If so, they saw what the U.S. Open did, they're going to design a bubble. They'll probably include a tune-up tournament along with the Australian Open the way they did, you know, in New York. And that's what we may see for the coming year. Just get people in there and just have people in quarantine and keep them safe and let them play a couple of events or a warm-up event, then the main event.
Well, see, that's the thing that we saw a little bit this year, and that's my question, that my reason for asking the question is because it was the tune-up tournaments that had some folks in it that you would normally not see in prominent spots because a lot of the big names didn't play. Most recently, it's the Italian Open that precedes the French Open. Right? That was one where it didn't have the same kind of rank and file, if you will, for that tournament because of COVID, because of leeriness. Yeah, the sponsors want these players in the majors, but the tune-ups, as you said, to get them ready, especially if a number of the tournaments that you would normally have on the schedule have been canceled, I just see it as being something kind of making it even more cumbersome for these guys to make decisions as far as where they're going to go, if they're going to go. Like you said, gas the jet up. I'm not going to take a chance on this. Now, by next year, A, here's the two things to look out for. If the virus is still here, are they going to keep the tournament like the French Open here in October again, or are they going to try and move it back to where it normally is? The same thing with golf. We're still waiting on the Masters, man. We're still waiting on that.
Oh, hey, we can't wait to see that.
You want to see what Augusta looks like in November,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. You want to see what the course looks like. And unfortunately, you know, spectators won't be allowed down there to see it. So, you know, just trying to make it through this calendar year. Yeah. And reset and see how things come along.
So many questions. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. All right, Mr. Crenshaw, the floor is yours. Give us the latest on what's going on here locally.
All right, locally, I'm going to do a little bit of high school and a little bit of college for you. Of course, Jeff Fisher was great to join us yesterday from High School Football America. Dropped a lot of knowledge. And today, if you follow him, like I said, he's on Twitter. He's going to drop his top 100 for the first time this season. Going to be interesting to see where some of our teams from the Georgia and from the Metro Atlanta area rank in the nation's top 100, considering all states are not playing high school football. Yeah. So that's the thing you watch for today and see how that all works out and see who shows up. But as I said, there are a number of teams that continued undefeated that we talked about yesterday, and we'll see if any of them show up. The big win people are talking about this weekend was Cedar Grove at Milton because DeKalb County played for the first time. Cedar Grove was able to have a few fans at that game because they played that game at the Fulton County School. If you're playing a DeKalb County team at a DeKalb County location, there were no fans. And I went to games on back-to-back nights, and it was odd to be at formerly known as the DeKalb Memorial Stadium, Hallford Stadium, and see not a single fan. And one was for Tucker Southwest DeKalb. And normally that game is wall-to-wall packed with people. To see nobody there was just strange. Just mm-hmm. strange, and you feel bad for the kids who have to go out and still want to play. And normally, you know, Fridays are about your family. You want to see your family and your friends in the stands. Nobody but the teams and the cheerleaders didn't even bring the band. Well, one school did bring the band. They brought a karaoke machine with the band playing on there for the cheerleaders to do a dance routine. The Southwest DeKalb band was there in spirit. That was entertaining to watch. Archer got the win over North Gwinnett, and that was big for them. 14-13 final score in that game. We watched a few of the scores. North Cobb continues to roll. They got a big game coming up next week. We'll talk about that. I mentioned McEachin won by a baseball score, 8-7. Yeah. Final with that one. Parkview over Marietta, 50-28. A win for them as well. Hillgrove, and that's the team you watch out in Cobb County too. They got the win over Westlake, beat Westlake. That's their first setback of the year by a score of 42-21. So just a few games to throw around. Cherokee still undefeated. Beat Cartersville 14-13. That was a big win for them as well. Going to run down a few games to watch for this coming week. Douglas County is still undefeated. They have Alexander coming up. That's a big game out in Douglas County next week. Parkview plays Tucker Thursday night. That's a Thursday night game coming up this week. North Cobb, we mentioned, still undefeated. They play at North Gwinnett. McEachern.
Shout out!
McEachern plays Milton next week. What's that?
I just can't do that no more.
Why not?
I'm sitting here hollering, and I'm not in my, you know, where we would normally do the show. And the room is right around the corner where folks are sleeping.
Ooh,
so when I start screaming, I found that out.
Easy.
Also, yeah. Jesse will be knocking on the door going, hey, will you shut the you-know-what up? I'm trying to stay in your side of the bed over here. She's laying there. I walked in there yesterday. She was all up under my pillow and everything.
just keeping it warm for you.
Keeping it warm, yeah. And I got to wash some sheets today. Anyway, but yeah.
McEachern at Milton. That's going to be a big one next week. Grayson, Mill Creek. We see what happens with that one. Carrollton and Rome should be a good game. Lanier and Decula should be a good game. But down in South Georgia, it's another one of them games.
Uh-oh.
Valdosta against Lowndes. That's going to be big. And, of course, the quarterback that we talked about yesterday is out for Valdosta. So it's Valdosta against Lowndes. Those are big games coming up. Some high school games coming up next. College, yesterday I was over at Pete's place. And
I was looking for you. I was watching the game for a minute. You jumped out quick yesterday.
Well, you know what? They recovered quick because, you know, Cornelius Brown threw a pick six on the very first play of the game. And we were like, oh, no. that the first play throws it to the wrong guy. And all of a sudden, East Carolina's up in the game. But Georgia State came back. You know, he settled down, and that was good to see him settle down as just his second start. And, you know, found his targets. He ran for good reps. Destin Coates over 100 yards rushing, Sam Pinckney over 100 yards receiving, and a pair of touchdowns. The defense showed up big when it had to. Had some special teams things late in the game. East Carolina, you know, they faked a field goal, and the holder got up and ran it in for a score. So they had some things that happened, and a block punt as well for a touchdown. But 49-29, Georgia State gets that first win of the year over East Carolina. And, you know, they're 1-1. They got a week before they play on a Thursday night at Arkansas State. That is the next game for Georgia State to play. Meanwhile, Georgia Southern's on the road. They're 2-1. They get a win. They get a lead, and they hang on down at Louisiana Monroe, 35-30. Final score. So Georgia Southern gets a win down there, and they are now 2-1 on the season. So those are a couple of college games to watch for. I think Mercer has a game next week. And once again, the FCS teams, they just play in games if somebody wants to play a game here in the fall, because they're actually going to play for their championship in the spring. That's all of the FCS conferences. That includes HBCU conferences, the MEAC and the SWAC. They will play their schedules in the spring, as the NCAA has announced they will be playing for their championship then. So, but right now you're free if you want to schedule a game. You know, if you need a game, Central Arkansas show up. Just give them a call.
Or call Scotty.
Call Scotty, and he'll get them to. He'll line you up a game, and they'll come anywhere. Like I said, they're the Bingo Longs of college football.
Oh, they'll Lord, he everywhere. Did it again. Oh, we never did explain that to
you. We explained Bingo Long. We didn't Ken, in case we didn't say, you know, this is during the era when Motown and Berry Gordy were producing motion pictures. And this was one that was all about the Negro Leagues and just a barnstorming baseball team that went from city to city. And it had people like Billy Dee Williams and Richard Pryor were in the movie. And the music was great. And it was James Earl Jones.
I was just about to say, you left Darth Vader out.
Yeah, man. James Earl Jones was in it. And it's a lot of fun. You get a chance to look the movie up. It was a cool movie. Made back in the
70s. Bingo Long. Jeez.
Bingo Long's Traveling All-Stars.
It is actually pretty funny.
It is.
It actually is pretty funny. Yeah, Motown was in was getting in the mix of that. They put out Mahogany, too, speaking of Billy Dee Williams.
Yep, and Lady Sings the Blues.
That's right. Yeah. Man, see, we were talking about this last week.
And the Wiz.
That's true.
Yeah.
Control of the board stays with Mr. Crenshaw.
Sometimes we don't appreciate Barry. Sometimes we don't appreciate Berry Gordy like we should.
Well, it's and the directors that he put in those positions, because he wasn't necessarily
but also though his whole concept, he knew what Motown was going to mean for artists, for black artists to be seen on television in places you never saw Motown artists from that era give a bad interview on television. That was very important, and so he realized the importance of those things. So, what a visionary! You know, what a visionary! Mm-hmm.
But he should have kept that company a little while longer. He could have got a whole lot more money for it. He sold that thing way too early. Listen, coming up next, we are going to talk to a guy who we are beholden to for helping us out when we got started back up on the air when the pandemic hit. And we were gone from weekends, but got back on. And that's because NASCAR was the main sport happening. And Adam Alexander joined us like 3-4 weeks in a row. So we want to thank him personally and also get some insights on some things that have happened since we've talked to him last. It's Sam and Greg till 10 o'clock. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. And check us out on the radio.com app. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. We are also on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. Sam and Greg here until 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock this morning. See, I was stuck in my crawl there. We got an extra hour this morning, Mr. Crenshaw. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
We got that delay again. Oh, doggone it. Anyway, we want to bring out a guest that before we get into his expertise on the sport, we want to, I think, speaking for you, Mr. Crenshaw, we want to thank him for what he did when we came back on the air. We came back on the air. The sports hadn't really come back, and the one sport that was ever present was NASCAR. And it took a few weeks before things started inching its way back. But every week, this man was gracious with us, and he came on. And this was also in the throes of the movement, the Black Lives Movement, and everything that was going on in this country. And Adam came on here and talked about how it affected his sport. So, again, Adam Alexander from Fox Sports. We're going to talk NASCAR in a second, but we want to thank you right off the rip, man, and hope you're doing okay. Good morning.
Doing well, and thank you guys for having me on this morning, and certainly have enjoyed any time I've had a chance to get on and visit with you. So thanks for making me a part of the show.
Adam, always good to catch up with you. So much has happened, you know, this year. You know what, before we get into the things that have happened in this last couple of weeks and the race today at Talladega, have you thought about how you're going to put this season into words? And we still got more of the season to go.
Really?
But have you even thought about that a little bit?
But two words that you would have to use if you were going to describe 2020 in NASCAR would be Harvick and Hamlin, because they have dominated on track and appear to be on a crash course for Phoenix in that championship race. But I say that a little bit tongue-in-cheek, because I think any time you describe sports in 2020, the reflection is not as much going to be about the competition itself, but it's going to be about all the peripheral things that have gone on in and around the various sports. And with NASCAR, and, you know, Greg touched on it there, you know, there have been so many off-track items that have impacted NASCAR this year. And I think in many ways have changed it dramatically. And, you know, I just think about all the stuff that happened the last time we were at Talladega involving Bubba Wallace, and how Bubba has come to the forefront of the sport this year and gained a tremendous amount of recognition for the way he's handled the so many items that have been put on his plate. And then you think about what that has turned into and the conversations that began because of that. And now, you know, Michael Jordan is going to own a team with Denny Hamlin, and Bubba's going to drive. And there are just, you know, so many things that have happened in the sport this year that I think it's safe to say that bound out of adversity is opportunity. And we have seen that. And I do believe, despite all the things that have happened this year, many of which could be viewed in a negative light, we are going to see a tremendous amount of growth in NASCAR in the years to come because of what 2020 has put in front of so many people.
Adam Alexander, Fox Sports, joining Sam and Greg here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Actually, I was going to go local, but I'm going to leave that to Mr. Crenshaw, because you touched on something I want to continue with. What's been the conversation in your world about Michael Jordan joining up with Bubba Wallace, and but Michael Jordan himself being a part of NASCAR now?
It's huge. And I think if you followed racing over the years and you've, you know, followed Michael Jordan, you probably are aware that he's been involved in racing. He's owned some teams on the two-wheel side in superbikes and that kind of thing, and so he's been involved. He's a race fan, grew up in North Carolina, so he's followed NASCAR throughout his life. And there are old pictures of him at races and in race shops and that kind of thing as he grew up in North Carolina. And in recent years, he and Denny Hamlin have become good friends. And so he's been a big supporter of Denny Hamlin. And he was actually, I remember, on pit road in 2014 when Denny made the championship four that first year. So I think, you know, Michael Jordan being in and around NASCAR is not totally a foreign thing. But I don't think anyone would have anticipated that he would get involved at the level he's going to be involved in now and owning a team. And that's a big deal. And I think it's twofold. One, not only do you gain one of sport's biggest icons, whether you're talking stick and ball, racing, whatever. I mean, Michael Jordan, as we all know, transcends sports and always has. But I think you also open the door for many other in the entertainment world to say, wait a minute, this NASCAR thing might be something that I want to be a part of. And you can use that as a way to build your own brand, which is, I think, what Michael wants to do, and to reaching out to some other demographics. And so I think it's a big, big deal.
if you allow the shelf to think how they're going to dress up the pit crew. I'm saying it because Nike does, you know, unusual things. Look at look what they do to Oregon's football team with those chrome helmets. Can you imagine how the pit crew is going to be dressed out in some of that gear?
That's
oh my goodness,
call.
The marketing campaign.
I don't know about that, but I like that. I like that scene. That's a good idea.
Yeah, they're going to do that. Spending time with Adam Alexander on the waitforit.com hotline. Always great to catch up. Talladega's going on up the street this week. But I want to talk about the news this week about the schedule. I remember how you got excited last year when this year's schedule was announced and all the new and different things that were going to happen. You have to be downright giddy about next year's schedule. I know we are because we're getting our second race back.
It just continues to evolve, and I have to admit that I did not see the second date at Atlanta coming. Even as recent as last week, I was hearing from some different insiders on what the schedule was going to look like and what dates would be added, what tracks could be added, and how things could be moved around. I didn't anticipate there would be a second date at Atlanta. I knew Kentucky could lose a date, and ultimately that's where that second Atlanta race comes from. Both part of the same company at Speedway Motorsports Incorporated. I think, though, where that comes from, and you guys might be able to add to this more than me, being a part of the landscape there in Atlanta and knowing and understanding local legislation, but I think that the move is being made to put that second date at Atlanta to justify some additional growth economically around Hampton, where the racetrack is located outside of Atlanta, and there's been a lot of talk about a casino and a hotel and shopping and a water park and all those things. And if you can add attractions like that, it certainly makes a second race date something that is much more feasible and just makes a great deal of sense. And so I really believe that there's some knowledge on the part of SMI to say, if we can bring a second date here, this is going to prove to legislation throughout Georgia that we should build and grow this area and make it a destination spot more than just a racetrack. And so it'll be interesting to see what the next few years brings in and around the Atlanta Motor Speedway. But I think that's a big part of the reason why Atlanta got that second date.
Yeah, well, speaking for everybody down in that area, thank you, NASCAR, for making Terra Boulevard even more crowded. But they will get that worked out, I'm sure.
And I think we're seeing Ed, I think we're seeing a little Ed Clark work there too.
Yes, he does.
You know, because he's got big involved with that. Yep.
Yes, he has. Adam, got to talk about dirt track racing back in the Cup Series since 1970. That decision being made, what's that going to be like?
To be determined. I know that there will be a lot of excitement among fans. And, you know, if you go back 10, 15 years, whatever it's been, maybe longer ago than that, the World of Outlaws, which runs exclusively on dirt, sprint cars, they went to Bristol. They put, you know, plywood down over the concrete, brought in truckloads of dirt, and they raced there. And that was a big deal. And I don't think anyone could have ever imagined at that point that they would do the same thing someday for NASCAR, much less do it for the Cup Series. But that's what's going to happen. And I think that we as a TV industry, we want new and different. And I think NASCAR is willing to do some new things and try some new things. And I think we've seen that with six road courses on the schedule in 2021. And what's great about this dirt thing, and this is where I think you're going to see NASCAR go with the schedule beyond 2021, it's okay to do something one time or once every 5 years. And to me, the one criticism that NASCAR has received in recent years on the schedule is that it's the same thing year in and year out. And I think NASCAR is totally opened their eyes to, you know what? We're going to have our staple events. We're going to have our tracks that we always go to that are never going to go away where the format doesn't change. But I think they are becoming very open-minded to saying, you know what, a one-off here or there or something that we do once every 5 years is okay. I'm not suggesting that the dirt thing won't be here to stay. I just think this is the first step of NASCAR saying, you know what, it's okay to put this on the schedule and see how it goes, and that's what's going to happen. And and we'll find out next spring how big of a deal it is to put Cup cars on track, racing on dirt at Bristol. As you said, for the first time we've done it at the Cup level since 1970.
Man, I'm excited about that. I can't wait for that. Folks, we're spending time on the waitforit.com hotline with Adam Alexander. He is social. You can follow him on Twitter at Adam1Alexander, all lowercase. All right, let's get to today at Talladega. You talked about Harvick and Hamlin. That's what it's pretty much going to be. Hamlin's on the pole for this race at Talladega. How do you see this one playing out today?
It's so unpredictable, as you know, Sam. In fact, ironically enough, I think the first time you and I met was about 10 years ago down at Talladega Super Speedway. And,
you're right.
And,
absolutely.
I love that track, and I love going there. And the reason I love going there is because of the unpredictability. And then you add the element of this being a playoff race, the fact that things got a little crazy last week at Las Vegas, and the first driver to lock into the round of eight is someone that we probably wouldn't have expected to be there, and Kurt Busch. So we've already gotten our first surprise in this round, which I think puts even more pressure on these drivers today. I think you'd be hard-pressed to bet against Ford. They've won 9 of the last 10, so that means, you know, Kevin Harvick, Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano, maybe a non-playoff driver, you know, someone like a Ryan Newman, a Ryan Blaney. These are drivers that have been really good at Talladega in recent years, and you would expect them to be a player. I'll tell you, someone that I really want to keep an eye on is Austin Dillon. They have had a great playoff run. They advanced to the second round. They were doing everything they needed to do last weekend at Las Vegas, had a penalty, had a mechanical issue, and now they find themselves in a must-win. And he's not a great road racer, so that they can't really rely on next weekend on the road. Well, I think today is very important for that race team. 20 years ago is when Dale Earnhardt won for the final time in his career at Talladega in the month of October. I just think there's some synergy to that storyline, and Austin is really good at this style of racing. So if you're looking for another surprise, keep your eye on Austin Dillon today. I think that'd be a real fun story to watch play out.
You know, I had a question for Adam, and it just slipped my mind when he was talking about when we started talking about this race today. I don't know, I was just thinking about Talladega. We're talking about the French Open earlier. I'm just thinking about all these iconic places that you have looked forward to watching their events happen, but yet how this pandemic has affected everything. I guess what I was getting around to, Adam, is this: how's the state of NASCAR as it sits right now, given what we've gone through? Are they doing okay? Is everything as best as possible? How do you describe where it is right now?
I think overall it's been pretty positive. You know, when you think about, and we just look at the NFL and what they're dealing with, and we saw it with Major League Baseball when they first came back and they had a number of outbreaks with various teams. You know, Major League Baseball was able to get themselves back on track, and now, as we know, they're into the playoffs and have reached the divisional round, and all of that appears to have worked out. The NFL's got a little bit of a hiccup right now, but it appears they're getting their arms around this and trying to stay in front of it, and they're going to send out a pretty strong message to teams this week that you got to tighten things up if we're going to make this work. I think the one thing that you have to celebrate in NASCAR as you look back at this season is the fact that they really have never gotten too far out of bounds with the virus itself. Jimmy Johnson obviously tested positive, missed Indianapolis. Austin Dillon tested positive, missed a race. Luckily for him, he had already won and was locked into the playoffs. Across the board, I think NASCAR has gained a lot of confidence in their leadership just because of the way they've been able to handle this and go on. So I think NASCAR right now, although they certainly have paid the price with no fans and just the many challenges that come with what we're seeing in the world today, I think overall they've gained a lot of confidence and generated a ton of momentum for the future because the way they've been able to handle all this.
Yeah, not to mention esports and what that did when the cars couldn't get on the track. Another dimension for NASCAR in 2020 as well, Adam.
And I think you'll see more of that. You know, there's a lot of conversation about, when iRacing really took over in the month of March, and you know, we were all headed down there to Atlanta to race, and ultimately didn't get to come that weekend in mid-March because that's when really everything shut down. And the following weekend, Miami was on the schedule, and while, you know, obviously NASCAR did not go to Miami and race on their scheduled date, there was an iRacing event on Fox, and we continued every Sunday with the race from the scheduled track, doing it via iRacing. We were doing Wednesday night events on FS1. And so there is no question iRacing and esports filled an incredible void. And I think the one advantage that racing has over the other sports when it comes to doing things in the video game format is that in NASCAR and in racing, you've got athletes that truly are competing on a simulator that creates this sense of realism that you just can't get with the other sports. And so there's no question esports, in particular iRacing, played a huge role in NASCAR's growth through all this.
Folks, you can hear them weeknights. You can see them weeknights on FS1's Race Hub. My goodness. Adam, thanks so much for getting up and joining us, bringing us up to speed, literally, on what's going on with NASCAR. Always great to catch up
with you. Thank you for everything, Adam.
Great to be with you guys. Thanks for having me on. Enjoy your Sunday, and we'll talk again soon.
All right. Yeah, we got to send that guy a pizza or something. That's Adam Alexander. We are going to talk a little bit more NFL and a little bit of a casting call coming up next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg, 6 a.m. until 9 normally, but this morning we got ourselves an extra hour. We're on until 10 o'clock with the Falcons playing tomorrow night. Speaking of the Falcons, we're going to be all about NFL coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. We're going to hear from D-Led. We're going to talk about what's going on around the league. We're going to talk about, you know, the latest tests. So that is all coming up. 8 o'clock hour, we're going to go down to the bubble. Talk NBA Finals with Sekou Smith, get into some Major League Baseball playoffs, and there was a big race yesterday. But of all of that being said, the most important thing you need to know is we are going to get the best breakdown of what happened in college football, most notably the Bulldogs yesterday, from our own Ken Roundtree, our producer. Right, Sam? There is no bigger Dogs fan.
He will be all over it.
He will be. He will be. I want to ask you, I want to make a statement before we get into this NFL stuff real quick. On the heels of talking to Adam Alexander, mm-hmm. and we talked about Michael Jordan joining the sport. We talked about the Black Lives Movement and how that was at its zenith during the comeback, if you will, of NASCAR and how that affected that. And basically, voices of color in the sport. But you know what always gets me, at least this last year or so, for obvious reasons, has become more prominent. One of the voices you don't hear or you don't hear people talking about is Brad Daugherty.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He's always been there. He's always been there.
But
He speaks.
Okay, but people talking about him when it makes it seem like there is no other people of color in prominent spots for people who don't follow the sport. That's what I'm talking
about.
Right. When Michael Jordan says he's going to dip his toe in a NASCAR, people who watch soap operas know about that. Okay, right. They hear about it.
Well, he's got that brand from all the success. I mean, remember, Greg, just a few weeks ago when there was no sports going on, what did we do every Sunday night? We watched the stuff
Absolutely.
About Michael Jordan.
Absolutely.
So I mean, obviously that tells you about the power of his brand and bringing it to the game.
But Brad Daugherty ain't no scrub. Okay, this is a dude who played at his same school. He's from North Carolina, and he had a great career. Though he's not in the Hall, he had a great career in the NBA. And he is a prominent and very larger-than-life voice, because it's not just the fact that he's a man of color. He's a man of color 7 feet tall. So, you know, there's something else that needs to be brought up on a regular basis about his his being there, but his contribution to the sport and not trying to change it. Like, he came in like double Dutch, man. He found his entry point, got in, and has been a presence ever since. I just feel like he should be mentioned more when this kind of conversation comes up.
He will be mentioned more because his old college teammate is coming in. So and believe me, he's going to look for chances to beat him when he can, because he's a part owner of a cup-level team as well. And we think about it, Ricky Stenhouse is a driver for that team. Stenhouse was a second-place finisher at Talladega in the race earlier this year. The other thing we don't mention, and the thing we love to mention on our show, is jobs. When you bring someone else like a Michael Jordan into a sport like NASCAR, it creates jobs. That's a whole new team, and they need everything. Everybody knows, a lot of people know how to turn a wrench. A lot of people know how to work on engine and engine building and the other things that a team needs, everything that any business would need, management, IT, graphic design, all of those things are going to be needed for this new racing team, Michael Jordan and Denny Hamlin. No, by the way, that's going to give Bubba something he needs on track. He's been missing a partner to go along with him when things happen. You can't get a much better partner out on your track now than Denny Hamlin, because he's going to be a part owner of the team.
What's the dude we used to have on the show all the time who was he either had a school or had a training facility where he was taking athletes that would prepare them to be part of pit crews?
Phil Horton, Coach Phil Horton. And he always talks about getting guys who have been, mostly guys who have been football players, but just been college athletes, and would come in, and they had a combine that he has during the spring. Of course, that hadn't been able to travel around like he normally would be. I don't know if he's doing it virtually, because there's still a need to find people to do that. It's very competitive. A lot of race teams have their A teams, and they have the guys, who work out, who are waiting for somebody to not have a good race or not do so well, and they step in with that A level team. It works like that. So, like I said, when you hear about a news like Jordan, I think the way we usually think, Greg, where are the jobs at? Those are jobs. Those are jobs.
And we should talk about, we're going to get into football, but let's mention the name of Brianna Daniels.
Yeah,
talking about people working on pits. She has been on a pit, and she's one of the most prominent females that are working in the pits. And have we had her on? Well, we've talked about her for years.
We talked about it. I don't know if we had her on.
I'd like to get her on. Why don't you work on that?
We work on that.
Everybody, so Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. All right, man, listen, let's dip our toe into what's going on with the NFL and the games today. Do we talk about the games, or do we talk about the other news that's just as prominent, what's going on with the NFL?
I think the other news is almost bigger than the games today.
I do, too. I really do, too.
Adam alluded to it and talked about how the NFL is having to deal with some things and maybe get after the players to tighten some things up and be a little more careful. Sure, if you go to a practice facility, you have a lot of restrictions, things, but the guys don't live there. Don't live there still. So, maybe that's what we're seeing a little bit of here this week. I mean, the Tennessee Titans still had more guys with positive tests yesterday. And so we know they shut down their facility this week, that the game is being delayed and put off. So we're waiting to see what happens with that particular game. And then we have another game that's come out now because of the New England Patriots and Cam Newton. We do read that he is the only player on the team that has tested positive. So he's an isolated case. But if they reschedule this game for Monday or Tuesday, he won't be able to play. So that's too.
Well, why not, much like the other game, move it to another week? You got these bye weeks that these guys are in there. See, that's what we talked about earlier, though.
But you don't know if those teams match up.
Right.
The rest of the schedule, right?
Listen, I wouldn't want to be the scheduler for any of these folks. I mean, college or pro level, because you've got such a small window. And then, of course, we got in a few weeks. Speaking of the college, you got the Big Ten and the Pac-12 coming back, and they can't miss nothing. They can't have no hiccups.
Right.
They can't have nothing. So if nothing else, it'll be kind of interesting to see what's going on. We've been watching yesterday a full day of college football, and the stands and the tailgating and the parties that took place under massive tents. People have adapted and adjusted like Marines far as they're going to get their party
I don't know much tailgating was going on, though.
But there were events in parking lots. If you had a parking pass, you could go to to a certain area, and you had to buy your stuff and hang out in that area. That was it.
Yeah.
As I understand it.
I've been watching this video of this SMU game and what they did down there, but Yeah. I mean, it looks like they had they have a grassy area where, you know, I guess where the students usually hang out, and like they were drinking and whatnot and just standing there watching the game. This is Southern Methodist University, ain't it?
I'm just asking.
It's Sunday morning. It's Southern Methodist University. I'm looking at a bunch of students drinking, watching the game. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
So you know, are you making a point about they have a history of skirting the rules? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, SMU does have a history of skirting rules now. Remember that to shut that program. They got the death penalty.
Pony Express is something. You didn't see that. Yeah. You didn't see that 30-30 on the Pony Express.
They had their own car lot. but that being aside, they herded all the students and kicked them out of the game yesterday because they wouldn't adhere to the rules that have been put in place for all of their fans. And I think we're seeing it different places, different rules at different places. We talked with Ken and, you know, but in our virtual bullpen before we came on the air, reminded us what people saw at UGA last night was in the rules that were allowed for fans that came to the game. And, you know, we saw different things at different places. We saw Alabama yesterday, how people were spaced out at those games, really around the SEC. Fans were spaced out, some wearing masks, some not wearing masks, but it's all in accordance to what the athletic department set as guidelines for attending those games. So that being said, that's what the guidelines were, and I think they're due to increase the attendance for next week's game in Athens when Georgia has Tennessee come in, who's, oh, by the way, they're undefeated, and they kind of feel in a certain kind of way about themselves up there these days. They have the longest winning streak, you know, in the nation right now. They won again yesterday. So is Tennessee back? I don't think so. But, you know,
Chris loved answering that question yesterday. he loved answering that question yesterday. Yeah, listen, during the game, talking about the SMU thing, some students began to gather, disregard the safety measures. SMU spokesman said after numerous attempts by staff and security to get the students to comply with these safety requirements, it became necessary to clear the area. While some students did move in the out of the area, it just wasn't enough, basically. So, this is enforcement of that is, and then who wants to be the cop for something like that too?
Yeah, really.
Go up in that mix and say, you got to go while you're holding, what do you hold? You hold your hand on your hip or you hold your hand over your mouth?
You know, or you put on a hazmat suit before you go up there.
I want to just tell you guys really quick, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, before we get on out of here. Actually, you know what? I'm going to send you to a couple casting directors when we come back. I don't know, Ken, do we have a minute or so here? I can do this, or do we need a break real quick? Okay. Again, there are issues, and I'm not going to get into what they are as far as our website and getting things up as far as the casting call. I am way down on the totem pole of importance as we have built our new website, and the guy who's building it is building it for like four different cities. So Knox Bardeen has a dinner at Chops from me coming or something, or maybe somebody else. I don't know. We should both take him out because you're going
to
see him.
Yeah,
next.
We both get to get it right. Now, I'm next in line.
He has been helping me out, and I've frustrated him to no end. And again, the industry too is coming back, but slowly but surely. Let me just tell you something. They aren't going to have as nearly many crew members on set. They aren't going to have nearly as many extras on set, which is the area I focus on. But I will tell you this. There isn't a turnover with crew members. There are a lot of people who didn't come back, who had to find other jobs when this pandemic shut down the industry. Well, it's coming back. And one of the things I'm going to concentrate on in these early weeks as I come back and start to do casting call, I'm going to direct you to destinationcasting.com. January has got a couple needs. If they fit for you, great. Submit yourself. I will walk you through how to, she'll walk you through. There'll be a sheet on her page showing you how to submit yourself. CastingTailorMade.net. That's another one. Heather does Stranger Things. I don't know that she may not have opportunities for you to be extras in that show coming up. I'm going to be more thorough in the weeks to come, but those are just a couple casting directors you can check because it's been real weird. Sam, I haven't been able to from week to week, you know, where I would normally hold casting opportunities over for 3-4 days. I mean, they're filling them quick and they're moving on because they aren't having as many extras. But the point of it is, while they're there and they change, what I could tell you today could be gone by Wednesday of next week, but then you'll get three more opportunities because of the way they're doing things. I'm going to focus on those behind-the-camera jobs, and it all starts with you going to Georgia.org. And you go from that, and then just scroll down the menu, you will see industries, film and television, entertainment, and then it will take you to where the industry jobs are. All right, and Georgia.org updates this section regularly. So again, this is what I'm going to focus on moving forward. I have this list up on Get Cast with Greg on Twitter, but I know everybody's not on Twitter. But as our website continues to be built, I'm just going to personally direct you to find these opportunities. If you can't find them, you're having a problem, greg.clarkson@intercom.com. That's my email. You shoot me an email, I will do my best to direct you toward these jobs. But again, I'm going to take baby steps moving forward. Also got Bill Seller on there for those of you who want to get into voiceover work. So there you go. I'm still keeping my eye on it. Coming up, let's talk some baseball, man. We have not talked to Braves. Getting ready for the division series. Their own sort of pseudo bubble that's going on with baseball. That's coming up next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.